Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Well, every year for about the past 25 years, tonight's guest has written a new song for the Christmas Eve service at Coquitlam, BC's Blue Mountain Baptist Church. About a decade ago, Carolyn Ahrens took to the recording studio to put songs to tape and produced her first and to date her only Christmas CD called Christmas and Irrational Season. Well, with a few more songs in her repertoire, after some urging from her fans, Carolyn decided that it was time to record another Christmas offering. And she's also turned to those fans to help fund the recording with a Kickstarter fundraising campaign. So with me on the phone tonight to talk about the new record and the fundraising campaign from her home in BC is singer-songwriter Carolyn Ahrens. We'll talk to Carolyn in a few moments. But first, let's listen to Come and See from Carolyn Ahrens' first Christmas CD, Christmas and Irrational Season. And now to our conversation with Carolyn Ahrens. Good evening, Carolyn.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Now, let's go back. How did this whole tradition of writing a new Christmas song, a new song every Christmas Eve, start?
That's a very good question. It's so long ago that it's sort of surrounded in a mist now, but my pastor at the time, you know, one year said, hey, it would be great if you could write something to go with. I think he had a particular thing he was talking about that Christmas, and he wondered if I could write something to go with it on Christmas Eve. And I had a long tradition at my home church from about the time I was about 12 on. The pastors there would give me writing assignments. That was kind of writing school for me, which is pretty cool when I look back on it. Anyway, about 20 years ago, I was a little older than 12. He asked me to write a song for Christmas Eve, and I did. And then the next year, he said, hey, that was really cool last year when you did that. How about if you do it again this year? And I said, okay, sure, great, not knowing that 20 years later, we would still be expecting a new song every year. So it's been a very cool and sometimes high-pressure but fun tradition.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, how much of a challenge is it, you know, to come up with a new way of telling the Christmas story? I mean, I know pastors face that challenge every year as well in terms of trying to come up with with the sermons and the new way of telling the Christmas story, but they have a little bit more time in terms of telling that and unpacking that than you do in a, you know, they have in a 15, 20 minute sermon where you've got like a 3 to 5 minute song. How much of a challenge has it been to come up with something new?
Well, some years it's effortless. You know, it's all about the idea. So some years, an idea strikes me and it kind of writes itself, and other years I have to dig down deep. And so it's been interesting going through the last 10 years with a new CD in view. I'm using almost every year except for 2008 and 2009. I don't know what happened in 2009. I can't find the song. And 2008, I'm like, eh, that one didn't fly. But the other ones, you know, they all have their own little window into it. And it's even kind of like a spiritual discipline to, you know, come Advent time, start re-entering to the story and kind of just asking what new thing it has to teach me, and then maybe teach others through the song. So it's I think it's added a lot, actually, to my Advent, especially every year.
Well, looking at that, I mean, do you wait until Advent to do that, or now that you know that this is now a tradition, that you'll be expected to come up with a song for Christmas, do you even start looking at things that happen during the year and going, hey, that might make a good song for Christmas?
Well, you know, that would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it, to plan ahead. But I'm kind of your typical artist. I kind of need the axe to be about an inch away from my neck to get inspired. I think there's an old quote that says, nothing so inspires a man as the possibility of a hanging in the morning, or something like that. So usually it doesn't happen until late November, early December, sometimes even later. But every once in a while, something will hit me. And right now, here we are, you know, in late spring, and I actually just wrote two Christmas songs right now, just out of the excitement of knowing I'm going back into the studio. So this year, I'm going to be coasting come Christmas time. I'm going to know it's done. I might even get my shopping done this Christmas.
Well, looking at that, why did you decide? What sort of came to the point of you making a decision to put out another Christmas CD?
Well, you know, it's been 5 years since my last CD of any sort. I put a CD out called "Love Was Here First" about 5 years ago, and in that 5 years, I've kind of been on a studio sabbatical. I've been in grad school, working on a master's degree that I just finished up, and doing speaking and writing and some touring and some teaching at college. And so I've been in kind of a different place, but the one steady through all that has been every year coming back to the Christmas song. So on a practical level, those were the songs I had. And then on an emotional and inspirational level, I just love Christmas records. I mean, every Christmas, that's my big splurge, is going and picking up new Christmas music. And I still make, you know, like old-fashioned mixtapes for my friends, because there's just something about the marriage between the kinds of things we're thinking about at Christmas and the gift of music that just really gets me just in a great place and inspired. And we're coming right up on the 10-year anniversary of my first Christmas record, so it just seemed like the right thing to dive into as I finished up school here.
And I know from a programmer's point of view, new Christmas music is always welcome.
That's good to hear.
Because you're always going, well, what am I going to play this year that they haven't heard
heard
over and over again? You mentioned it already about the fact that you're already writing stuff. I mean, you mentioned on social media that, you know, you were talking about things and then all of a sudden a couple of ideas have come to you. You know, I mean, we're just past Easter. How much of a challenge is it to start thinking about Christmas, you know, just shortly past Easter and going into summer?
Well, it should be a big challenge, but because I haven't been in the studio for 5 years, and because being in the studio is maybe my happiest place of all, it totally feels like Christmas to me right now. I mean, I'm so excited about it that I'm kind of in that Christmas space of mine. And so my problem right now is that it's totally Christmas in my head, and it's not for anyone else. So I have to keep adjusting and remembering everyone else is thinking about swimming season, and I want to be hanging stockings. So this year it's not a problem for me to get there in my mind at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask about, you know, the fact that you're going to be going in the studio. And I know for most people, when artists are doing Christmas music, they're in the studio like 6 months, even, you know, a year before Christmas, trying to get that together and trying to create that whole atmosphere. I mean, I think it was... Mel Torme wrote the Christmas song, you know, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire in the Middle of June. type of thing. How are you going to, not only because you're now in that Christmas mood, how are you going to try and get the, you know, the people that you're going to be working with thinking along those lines and being in that sort of in the mood type of thing for doing a Christmas recording?
That is an excellent question, and it's starting in just a few days, so I have to think deeply on this thing. Maybe I'm going to have to bring in like gingerbread or something. Get something happening in the studio. I mean, we can do some things with lighting and things like that, and hopefully, I mean, everybody that's involved with the project, I think, has some connection to the Christmas story and the fact that, yeah, it's a holiday we have one time of year, but if it's a true story, it's a story that absolutely changes everything. So hopefully each person, the drummer and the bass player and the other people that I work with, can find their way into that story, and I will do any sort of tricks to help them get there as quickly as possible. So I may have to find some Christmas related items. We also have, if anybody's watched the little video that we shot to talk about this record, In the background, they might notice a very distinct lamp from the movie A Christmas Story, very iconic lamp. And we're just kind of carrying that around with us wherever we go in our pre-pro meetings and in the studio. So I think that lamp might help us get in the mood too.
Oh, I didn't notice that, but my mind is just flicking to that movie right now. So what we're going to do is take a quick break and continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Carolyn Ahrens and talk about how she's actually funding this new Christmas CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Men brave snow and fear of heights to deck their houses with strings of lights. Strangers smile like old friends might. Everything changes at Christmas. Joseph and the baby in the hay come down from the attic and go on display. And treetop angels seem to say everything changes at Christmas. But if it's a story, what a story. Who would have dreamed of a scheme like this? But if it's a real thing, think of what that.
Welcome back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to the demo version of Everything Changes at Christmas from the upcoming Christmas Story of Stories CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Carolyn. Just before we get to the whole conversation about crowdfunding, maybe we need to give our listeners a little bit of an idea about the difference between demo versions of a song and the final version of a song.
Yeah, so, well, what they just heard is an early recording of that song. That song, Everything Changes at Christmas, was my Christmas 2005 song. So that will probably be the oldest original on this new record. And that version actually has been in circulation a little bit. It's kind of one step past the demo because we have made it available at different times to people who follow my music. But yeah, usually when you get a new song, you go in and at least do sort of a skeleton version of it or a first stab at it, and it gives you a bunch of ideas for when you're going to do kind of the definitive album version. So what you heard just there is a real acoustic version. No drummer. It was basically me and my pal Roy Salmon trying out different things on it, and then when we do it for the record, it'll be similar but more fully realized with a full band and able to take more care with each part.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the final version of that. One of the things we were talking about in email before we were setting things up is the whole aspect of the element of crowdfunding. There are a number of people that I know I've talked to and interviewed over the last little while, you know, from musicians to writers to painters, that are using crowdfunding to finance projects. What led to you deciding to go the crowdfunding route for the Christmas CD?
Yeah, well, you know, things have certainly changed. This will be my 11th CD, and my first one came out in 95. So what is that? I can't even do the math. 18, 19 years ago. And the music industry has completely changed in that time. And truly, the realities of kind of funding and creating art in all kinds of different ways, in many ways, have become much tougher. And I'm not complaining. There's just nothing I have to complain about over the last 20 years or so. It's just all been a gift. But just the reality of it is different. When I was starting out, you found a record company. They believed in you. They invested in you. They fronted the costs to do your work and kind of subsidized you out on the road. And so much of that has changed, and the vast majority of us are now just working independently and having to come up with resources on our own. And so this idea has kind of emerged of going to the people that enjoy your work or have received something from your work and saying, do you want to do this together? And at its most simplest level, it's just, hey, if you buy the record now before we make it, that'll help us with the cash flow to make the record. And then some people choose to back, they actually see what you're doing as something that they really want to support and get out in the world, and so they back at a higher level, and then we come up with fun perks for them. But the idea is just sort of spreading the cost around amongst people that believe in what you're doing and receive something from what you're doing. And so we thought we'd try it with this record. We were really tentative, not sure. I hadn't done a record in 5 years. And it has just been, I got to say, a total blast, mostly because it's been a mechanism, a way to hear from people whose paths I've crossed with over the last 20 years over the years. So it's turned out to be a really fun thing.
And how's the crowdfunding element gone so far?
So far, it's gone really well. We set a very conservative starting goal, which still seemed like a lot of money. We set a goal of $11,000. The way that it works on the platform we're using Kickstarter, and the way it works with them is that if you don't make the initial goal that you set, then you get none of the funding. So it's sort of an art to figure out, okay, what's the very least amount of money that we could get this thing made for so that we make sure we've got a good shot of making that goal, because Kickstarter will let you overfund but not underfund. So we set a goal of 11,000, kind of held our breath, met that goal in a day, which was amazing. I just kind of spent that whole day walking around in a cloud. I couldn't believe it. And then now we've been sort of chipping away at further goals. We're working right now towards getting enough funding to get a real top-notch mixing and mastering engineer, a guy named Greg Greeley that we just love, get him to mix and master the record. And if we reach that goal, then we'll keep going. As independent artists, I mean, pretty much every penny just goes towards trying to make the music all that it can be and figure out how to get it out to more people. So I would say it's going really well.
That whole aspect you're talking about, you know, making the music as good as it can be, and that, do you find that now as an independent artist, having to, you know, raise the money yourself, then work on the promotion, work on getting out and doing the touring, and is that drawing away from your focus on the music?
That's a really great question. I would say in some ways it does. It's definitely something that you have to guard against and never lose track of, kind of what you sense that you're called to. I think that, you know, ground level, I'm called to write songs and sing them for people and see what happens, and write other things too. I do other kinds of writing too. So you have to be prayerful and disciplined and smart about how you manage your time and how you spend it. And it definitely can be a distraction, and self-promotion is just icky. It just isn't fun, and if I had a way to make that go away, I probably would. But I will say the plus side is I feel the way that we kind of have to do things now, I feel so much more connected to the people that listen to my music because they're right there on the ground floor with me. Right now, they're all giving me song suggestions for this record, and I'm hearing how, why they're motivated to get involved now because of ways the music has affected them in the past. And in that sense, I think it's a really grounding thing and kind of a gift to have to roll up your sleeves and just go shoulder to shoulder and figure out how to get some art out in the world.
Yeah, and that connection, I'm hearing about that connection from a lot of people. And I guess one of the questions that comes up to me in all of this is with this new model, What does this mean for newer artists that are coming in? I mean, I'm looking at people like yourself and Steve Bell who have been on the road for, you know, 20, 25 years and been doing this for a fair amount of time. And you have that fan base. You have those people that have been that have connected with your music. But how does this whole new model affect people that are just starting out?
It's a good question. You know, I think what's happened in music in general, in many ways, it's been great for new artists. It's kind of democratized the whole thing. You know, if you can put together a website and you've got and roll up your sleeves and you've got maybe access to a van, you can go out and get your music out in the world. So that part is great, but certainly because anybody can go out and do it, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people trying and finding ways to kind of have people find out about your particular thing you have to give to the world can be incredibly challenging. I can imagine it would be really, really hard for a young artist. And I actually teach songwriting at the college level and see a lot of young artists trying to find their way. So I think it's tough. I know those of us who have been doing it for a long time try to keep our ear to the ground, and when we see something really special, we try to tell people about it. And, you know, the advantage for young artists is usually they still have the flexibility to be out on the road a lot. Maybe they don't have kids yet and that kind of thing. And it's really just a fan at a time. So they probably have some advantages that way.
Yeah, that you, when you say getting out and getting on the road and that, my mind flipped back to the early days of contemporary Christian music in Canada with Salmon and Mulder and Arlen Salty and all these people, you know, getting buses and just going from town to town, getting their music out there.
Yeah, and you know what? That's still happening. It's not as much of an option for us that have been at it for a while because of family commitments and things like that, although we do still try to get out there. But yeah, it's really fun to watch kind of the next generation come up and get in a passenger van and go and do it. You know, and there's even this movement of house concerts and things like that now where, you know, man, one of the greatest living songwriters right now is a guy named Pierce Pettis out of the States, just a brilliant songwriter. And I've seen him a couple of times in house concerts, which in one sense kind of enrages me, you know, like he should be in a huge arena somewhere. He's just amazing. But in another sense, oh my goodness, how fantastic is it to be able to sit in a room with someone like that and hear his songs that up close.
Yeah. Well, what I want to do is take a quick break and we'll finish up our conversation with singer-songwriter Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Mama's arms.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to the demo version of What Kind of King from the upcoming Christmas Story of Stories CDs that will be out sometime towards Christmas with by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation. Besides the, just quickly now, besides Christmas and the crowdfunding project, have you been working on anything else?
Well, like I was saying, just at the beginning of May, I graduated with my Master's of Arts in Theological Studies from Regent College, so that was a huge exhale, and I already kind of miss it. I was at school for quite a while, and then pretty much dove right away into this Christmas project, so living pretty squarely in the middle of that right now. But when that wraps and gets ready to go out, then I think the next thing I'll be thinking about is a new book. I've written a couple books in the past, and for the last 5 years I've been writing a column every other month for Christianity Today, and I'm just wrapping that up and kind of praying through and mulling through the right idea for a book. I know how long it takes and how much work it is, so I want to make sure I find something that I can stay passionate about for a really long time, and that'll be the next thing.
Okay. How are people going to be able to find out about the Christmas CD, when it's going to be released, and more about you and your projects?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, right now, to find out about how you can get involved on the ground floor with the Christmas thing, go to kickstartcarolyn.com, kickstartcarolyn.com, and Carolyn's L-Y-N. But for information in general, I'm at carolynahrens.com, and I blog there and have lots of info about what we're up to.
Great. Carolyn, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, and thank you to my guest, Carolyn Ahrens. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries, email robert@selawministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13 or Selaw13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.